This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents The Unblocked Collection, written by Marnie Mann, performed by Molly Glenmore and Joe Arden.
Unblocked, Episode 1. 1. Frankie. His mouth caressed the skin across my navel as my back arched off the bed. My nails dug into the mattress, a long, drawn-out moan escaped from my lips. His kisses quickly turned to licks. The tip of his tongue changed to a point during the upstroke, traveling as high as my nipples, and went flat during the downstroke where he paused at my folds. My legs spread, waiting for that pointed wetness to flap against my clit. Nothing but air swished over me. His breath. Exhales that triggered the throbbing to pulse even faster. "Please," I begged. "Please make me come." A tease. That's what this was. I couldn't remember a time when I had craved a man's tongue this deeply. I hadn't begged him with just my words, but with my hands too, drawing his face even closer. I combed his soft locks as I drove the back of my head into the bed, anticipating the feeling that would shoot through me when he eventually gave me the pressure I needed. His breathing continued, his mouth hovering over my sex, while his hands moved to my nipples. He squeezed with a fierce intensity. My stomach shuddered from the ripple of pleasure. "Please," I repeated. "I need your tongue."
"If I give you my tongue."
His voice startled me. Up until that point, I hadn't heard him speak. I hadn't seen his face either, now that I thought about it.
"You'll be moaning too loud to answer your phone."
My back straightened, and I glanced between my spread legs and bent knees. The night's darkness cast a shadow over half his face, hiding everything but his parted lips and wide tongue. Both dove forward and traced the inside of my folds, flicking across the middle and sucking slowly.
"Screw my phone," I grunted.
"Lick, suck, breathe. Lick, suck, breathe." My hips bowed to his pattern, his rhythm. The wetness he created mixed with my own arousal, and it began to drip down my thighs and onto the sheet. The pressure he was using wasn't strong enough to give me an orgasm. He was gentle, too gentle. That was all I'd ever had. I needed more now.
"Harder,"
I said. As soon as the word left my mouth, he stopped touching me. I wanted him back, and even closer. I reached for his hair, but there was nothing. The tongue that teased me so delicately was gone, and the fingers that had squeezed my nipples. Darkness filled the space where he had been.
"What the—"
My voice trailed off when I heard the ringing. "You'll be moaning too loud to answer your phone." The ringtone was a siren, a sound that wouldn't blend into background noise, and one I had specifically chosen for my father, so I would never miss his calls. Where the hell had this man disappeared to? How could his tongue and fingers simply vanish in seconds? I sat up and pushed my back against the headboard, a movement that made me gasp. My eyelids popped open. My eyes hadn't been open before. I scanned the room for evidence of this mysterious man who had pleased me in the middle of the night. From what I could see, nothing looked out of place, and there weren't any clothes on the floor. My blanket and sheet were still on the bed, and I was wearing my pajamas. I turned toward my nightstand and felt the wetness, a small spot on the bottom of my cotton shorts, and a dampness between my thighs. I knew if I smelled my fingers, my scent would be all over them. And it was. He was just a dream. I lifted my phone and cleared my throat. "Isn't it a little early to be calling?"
"Business doesn't sleep. Therefore, neither do I. You know this about me. Probably better than anyone else."
I said nothing.
"Technically, it's 4:45.
This had better be an emergency, then.
Call it what you'd like. Be at the office in an hour, Frankie.
Wait. I needed caffeine and a scalding shower, and for the wetness that still clung to my sex to be completely dry, before my brain would really start to work. He would hang up before I had time for any of that, so I forced myself to recount yesterday's hot items. Everything had been settled prior to leaving my office, from what I recalled. Why else would he call? It was too early to open escrow on any of our accounts, as none of the lenders were open yet, and funds only processed during banking hours. Emails could wait. It had to be a meeting with one of our international clients. Their trips to the States tended to be so short, they didn't bother getting acclimated to our time zone, so this wasn't uncommon. I was just surprised by the short notice.
Who's the appointment with? Giovanni? Hamad?
On your way in, why don't you grab me a bagel with the veggie cream cheese I like? And a latte, extra hot, with that foam stuff on top and real sugar. None of that artificial crap. Oh, and Frankie, don't be late.
He disconnected the call before I had a chance to repeat my question or say goodbye. That didn't matter. He knew I'd be there within the next 45 minutes with his bagel and coffee exactly the way he'd requested it. That was how he had raised me to act. And that was one of the reasons he would soon be handing me his company.
Take a look at those papers, my father said, pointing to the folder at the end of his desk.
His peppered hair was longer than usual, swept back and sprayed, almost like a headband that framed his crown. A suggestion from his most recent fling, I suspected. I set his bagel and coffee in front of him and sat in one of the chairs. I opened the folder to find block development printed at the top of the first sheet, the words encircled with long, sleek, winding branches that added warmth to the contemporary logo. Derek Block was known for using wood and naturalistic aspects in all his architectural designs. His overstated, earthy elements were what set his work apart. Under the logo was a press release that highlighted his most recent venture, an apartment conversion in the Back Bay, where he was renovating 181 units. The development, listed as Timber Towers, was an exclusive, state-of-the-art green building with an array of amenities that included underground parking. This was his first project in Boston. His prior build-outs had been in intimate beach towns throughout New England. Thanks to the connections I had at the building division office, I'd been notified over a year ago that Block had filed permit applications and that the city had awarded them. I only lived a few blocks from the site, and I'd been watching its progress.
So,
my father said, wiping a glob of cream cheese from the corner of his lip. My research shows he employs a full-time agent and handles all sales in-house, I answered. It's a dead end.
Your research is correct, except for this building.
The papers dropped from my hand, and a smile spread over my face. He's shopping for an agent?
Not just any agent, my dear. He wants the best agent in Boston. And she just so happens to be my daughter.
I felt my cheeks turn red. My father was a hard and often ruthless businessman, and his compliments were rare. When they came, I cherished them. I certainly can't be the only candidate. There must be others vying for the job.
Correct again.
He sifted through several sheets until he found the one he was looking for and rattled off the names of my competitors. I wasn't surprised by the agents Block had chosen to interview. They were all competent, one with more experience than me, another who was known for sleeping with her clients. None had Jordan International, a 40-year-old agency backing them, or the mentorship and knowledge of my father, Garrett Jordan, the man who'd built the company from the ground up, or the connections we had secured over the years, or our database of buyers. Our reputation in this city was flawless, all of which Block undoubtedly knew. When's the meeting?
At 7.
My steel and yellow-gold Rolex showed I had a little time to prepare. The watch was 5 years old, I'd bought it right out of college after closing my first large sale. My father always said that in order to successfully sell luxury real estate, you had to experience fine luxury for yourself. Our agency didn't represent knockoffs, and our clients weren't looking to buy them either. "I'm going to go prep," I said. He nodded silently, his eyes moving to his computer screen.
"Frankie,"
he said as I reached the door to his office. I turned around, gripping the framed arch. "Yes, Dad?"
"Land this one."
I nodded back, mirroring him. Flipping on the lights in my office, I sat behind my desk and booted up my computer. Several emails had come in from my assistant, Bree, providing even more information on block development. While I read through the first article, she called my cell. "I'll be there in 10 minutes, she said. I could hear traffic in the background. I pictured her walking to the subway. "Did you get the emails I sent?"
"I'm reading it all right now."
"All I could find was info on Mr. Block's company, but nothing on him personally."
"I'm sure what you found will be perfect."
The clock on the wall chimed. It was now 6 o'clock. "It's too early for you to be on your way here." "I want to dig around a little more and see if I can get you some key talking points." She was the most dedicated assistant I'd ever had. I didn't doubt this was a reason she was coming in, but I knew it wasn't the only one. "Bree, don't worry. I'm fine." I moved over to the window, looking down at Faneuil Hall and Government Center. The city was so gentle at this hour. "Are you?" "I'm having a hard time sleeping, that's all." There was honking in the background. "You don't sound so rested either."
"It's early, that's all."
"No, it's more. Let me guess, the dreams are back?" I turned and rested my back against the window to let the icy glass cool me off. Just the mention of those dreams had me sweating.
"I can't believe I told you about those."
"Girl, you've got just as much dirt on me." It now sounded like she was running, and probably in heels. "So they've returned just as powerful as before, I take it."
"They've most definitely returned." Despite it being a dream, and a man who never showed his face, his tongue had felt so real. Too real.
I pushed off the window and walked back over to my desk. "If we start going down this road, I won't get any studying done." She laughed. "See you in a minute." I smiled as I hung up and skimmed through the article that filled my screen. I was really so lucky to have her.
2. Derek. "The first agent will be here in about 45 minutes. My coordinator, Will, said from the doorway of my office. After I checked the time on my computer screen, I looked at his face to make sure he wasn't joking. At 6:15, I wouldn't put anything past him. "You reached them this early?" Her assistant responded immediately. So did her father, the owner of the company, who I copied on the email. "Always plugged in. I like that." "I knew you would." He reached into the hallway, grabbing the 2 mugs that our assistant handed to him. He placed one on my desk. "She's not the only one. You'll be meeting a few others over the next few days. All of them are top agents in the city." "Where does this one fall?" "First in the state. First in New England, too." The old man was the owner, and she was top in the state. I had a feeling I knew who it was. "Frankie Jordan?" He grinned slyly. "Sure is." It was the same grin he'd given me before I'd interviewed the agent who now worked out of my Portsmouth office. It told me Frankie was attractive and probably had one hell of a body. It wouldn't be the first time I'd been told that. "Good," I said. "I need someone like her for this project. Someone hungry and aggressive." He pushed off the side of the doorframe and hung his free hand on the top molding. "She's plenty of both and has an impressive resume for a 27-year-old. Rumor has it her father's getting ready to retire. This deal could be the perfect way to show Daddy how much she can really handle." I had a feeling she'd already shown her old man exactly how much she could handle. From what I'd read, Frankie started working at his office when she was a kid, cleaning toilets, and slowly moved her way up. I liked that. When I was a kid, I'd done the same until I went off on my own. I'd give all the agents a chance to be heard, but based on name alone, I already wanted Frankie Jordan. 45 minutes, you said? He nodded. And I doubt she'll be late. My phone vibrated from my back pocket. I pulled it out and stared at the text from my sister, Hayden. Why was she up so early? She couldn't have gone running. She hated cold mornings, and when her alarm went off before 7, she must have needed to be in court. I'm going to grab some breakfast, Will said. Tell Hayden I said hello, and if you need anything before Frankie comes in, let me know. He was more than 10 feet away. My screen wasn't visible from where he stood. How'd you know who it was? Your mom doesn't text, and aside from her, Hayden is the only other woman who makes you smile like you are right now. I'd never thought about it, but he was on to something. Will? Yeah, he called from the hallway. Can you have something nice delivered to Hayden's office today? It's not her birthday, is it? He appeared in my doorway again. Nah, she just deserves it. I'll have our assistant order something right now. No. Our assistant would order her a purse or a pair of shoes. I needed something more special than that. Will knew how to play to women's emotions. I want you to do it. He tipped his head. I'll take care of it. No smile followed. When it came to Hayden, he knew better. I looked down at my phone again, swiping my finger across the screen to pull up her text. Hayden, you still haven't heard anything? Me. I'm meeting with Tamara today. Hayden, that's what you're calling it now, brother? A meeting? Me. I call it taking one for the team. Hayden, because it's such a tough job, I'm almost jealous. My meetings with Tamara were little talking and mostly fucking. Fucking until those long legs could barely scissor to the bathroom. The few minutes of conversation were the only reason I continued to have sex with her. The fucking was her prize, not mine. Hayden assumed I enjoyed it because of the number of women I slept with. She was wrong. Tamara's body was decent, but she wasn't my type. If it wasn't for the information she had access to, I wouldn't have gone anywhere near her. In the past, Hayden and I had come across other sources we could tap. We agreed Tamara was the safest for now. Hayden's jealous comment needed to be just a comment, nothing more. Me. I'd better not find out you're doing the same. My anger built as I waited for her reply. Several minutes passed. Still nothing. Me. Hayden, I mean it. She finally responded. It wasn't the answer I was looking for. Hayden. Meeting with the council. Talk later. Will, I said into my phone after his intercom connected. Whatever budget you had planned for that gift, double it. Noted. This is going to be fun. There was nothing fun about imagining my sister doing the same things with men that I did with Tamara. My job was to protect her, not pimp her out.
3. Frankie. My eyes scanned the length of timber towers as my driver opened the backseat door to the SUV.
Hey, can I grab you some breakfast while you're inside, Miss Jordan?
He helped me onto the sidewalk.
Don't want your stomach to growl during your next meeting.
Just another coffee would be great, Norm. Feel free to get one for yourself, too. He tilted his head, the deep lines in his forehead creasing. Norm had been driving me to appointments for the last 5 years, and had chauffeured my father around for many years before that. He seemed to know what my stomach needed before I did. And maybe a sour cream coffee cake? I added. His neck straightened, his lips spreading into a wide grin.
From your favorite bakery?
There was a bakery not even a block from here. It didn't compare to the sweets they sold at the Carrot Cake, which was on the other side of the back bay, but well worth the drive. If it's not too much trouble.
It would be my pleasure.
Thank you. I flashed him a smile. Why don't you grab something for yourself, too? You have the company card with you?
I sure do, he said, escorting me to the front of the building.
I stepped through the door where a man stood just off to the side. He was dressed much more casually in comparison to the black suit and teal shell I wore.
Miss Jordan?
He asked, extending his hand. I met his firm grip. Yes. Though the pictures I'd seen on the internet had been taken from a distance and were mostly out of focus, I knew he wasn't Derek Block.
It's nice to meet you. I'm Will Mullen, Derek's coordinator.
I turned and nodded at Norm, my silent cue that notified him it was safe to leave.
Please excuse our appearance, Will said. As you can see, we're in the thick of the construction.
I maintained a slow pace so I could take my time appreciating the architecture and beauty of Derek's craftsmanship. There was something about the smell in here that struck me. It was earthy and romantic, relaxing yet jolting. Sexually jolting. It reminded me of the cabin in Vermont I had rented with my ex-boyfriend a few summers ago. How the scent of the air on the back porch where he had stripped off my clothes was a mix of dense woods and mountain. The smell of the cedar sunroom we had made love in. I had been in most of the residential high-rises in this city, but none had ever touched me personally like this. None created a physical reaction like the one I was having now. I cleared my throat, bringing myself back to the present. No problem, I said. Though I've got to say, I've seen many states of disrepair, and not one has been as clean or organized as yours.
Derek's standards are higher than most.
It certainly looks that way. We walked deeper into the room while he described the plans for the lobby.
It's slated to be completed within the next 3 weeks, Will said.
The floor was still exposed cement. The walls hadn't been plastered, and wires dangled from the 20-foot ceilings where lights would eventually hang. 3 weeks was an aggressive deadline, but despite the unfinished construction, Block's attention to the finer, more intimate details were everywhere. In the curve and cuts of the walls, the beams that ran across the ceiling, the shape of the entire room. If this lobby was a woman's body, he was taking his time with her, caressing her neck, kissing down her navel, licking between her legs. He was making sure she was completely satisfied. I envied the residents who would eventually get to live here. We neared the back of the room. Will stopped at the beginning of a mid-sized hallway and pointed to the first of four doors. This section of the building had been finished.
Sales office, he said, where the agent, whoever it may be, will be conducting on-site meetings.
The room was filled with contemporary furnishings and muted, calming colors. The decorator had created a perfect space for attracting potential buyers. He pointed to the second door.
That's our assistant's office. My office is next to that, and Derek's is last. Our main office is in Portsmouth, but we'll be working here until the building is complete.
Bree wasn't able to find any information on where Derek was from or where he currently lived. I wondered if it was Portsmouth. That was where he had started his first residential development. I was also curious if he'd be staying until all the units were sold. Both questions seemed more appropriate to ask after I was awarded the job. Will stopped in front of the last door. I stayed back, behind the wall that partitioned the office from the hallway. The silence was replaced by the sound of fingers typing on a keyboard and the clicking of a mouse. In the seconds before Will introduced me, I closed my eyes, took a deep breath, and reminded myself why I was here. Our agency was the best in Boston, and I was its top agent. This was just like all of my previous preliminary appointments. The only difference was I'd never been under contract with one that had this many units. But I knew I could handle it. I just needed to make Derek believe that.
Ms. Jordan is here, Will said.
I opened my eyes, slicked down the front of my hair, and rolled my lips together to spread my gloss.
Send her in.
Will turned toward me and waved for me to come closer.
"Can I get you anything to drink?"
he asked. "No, thank you." As he slid past me, my attention locked on the desk before me, and on the man who sat behind it. I froze when his eyes lifted and caught mine. Even my breathing stopped. My chest tightened, my lungs refusing to fill with air. "Mr. Block!" It came out as a gasp, although I hadn't intended it to. His eyes creased at the corners, as if he were trying to read my awkward reaction. After a few seconds of painful silence, he nodded. I wished he hadn't.
"Miss Jordan, it's nice to meet you."
"Miss?" Clearly, I wasn't the only one who had done my research. But that research hadn't been all that effective. Those out-of-focus shots I'd seen on the internet had done nothing to capture his looks. Or his total lack of style. Derek Block was anything but polished. He was brutish and grizzled, and as he stared at me, a rough, raw intensity poured from his electric blue eyes. His gaze was as primal as his appearance. Messy milk-chocolate curls sat on his head. His jaw was overly defined and covered in stubble that was well past the scruff stage. Despite a fashion sense that was as off-putting as a blemish, the man was gorgeous, more so than I was even comfortable with. "It's an honor, Mr. Block. My voice trailed off as he stood from his chair, a slow tingle pulsing between my legs.
"Why don't you come in?"
I was startled again by the sound of him, of his deep, alluring tone. I didn't realize I was still hovering in the doorway. Closing most of the gap between us, I moved to one of the chairs. I hooked my bag onto the back of it, his fingers slicing through the air as they reached for mine.
"Call me Derek."
He enclosed my hand with a pressing strength that I assumed was lightened for my benefit. Though his stare remained on my face, I wasn't able to keep mine on his. I needed a break, a second to get myself under control. Control. I had obviously lost that, though I didn't understand why. Polished men were all I knew, all I had ever been attracted to. Groomed and well-dressed, pretty and sharp, even cocky and somewhat selfish. They were certainly never burly or animalistic like Derek. So why was he having this kind of physical effect on me? And how could I make it stop? For a moment I lost sight of who this man was, that he could change the pace of my career and the position I held at my father's agency. I had to remind myself of the reason I was here. I took a deep breath and raised my eyes to meet his. "Then please, call me Frankie."
"Frankie."
It sounded like he was swirling the word around in his mouth, his tongue sliding sensually over every syllable.
"You're punctual. I like that."
"I value my client's time." He sat and pointed to the chair behind me.
"Take a seat."
I made myself comfortable as he crossed his arms over his chest and leaned back into his chair.
"Your timely arrival was the first part of this test. Now that you've passed, let's move on to the second."
For most of my introductory appointments, I knew to expect a verbal interview, sort of like an audition. But having my punctuality tested was something new. It all made sense now. Will emailing Bree and my father before 5 this morning, scheduling our meeting for such an early hour. He wanted to test my compliance, to be certain I would work on his clock and not mine. I respected that.
"You're listed as the highest-selling agent in Massachusetts, which tells me you're not just good at what you do. You're also doing something your competitors don't. I didn't bring you here so I could hear your plans, or how much marketing money you would allocate, or the number of investors you have on speed dial. I'm sure it's all impressive."
He paused, unfolding his arms to run his fingers over the side of his beard. I noticed the hunger in his eyes, how they watched me as though he wanted to seize and devour me. I wondered if he looked at all his potential associates that way, or if it was just me. That influx of desire lasted only a few seconds before he focused again.
I brought you here because I want to know why you want my building.
I opened my mouth, but he cut me off.
I won't give you a chance to change your answer, so get it right.
He spoke with little sympathy and plenty of dominance, but so did my father. One of the many things I had learned from him was to always come prepared, so I wasn't intimidated by this second test. You know I'm an excellent agent. That's why I'm here. What you don't know is when it comes to architecture, I crave texture, scent, a visual flavor so unique it makes my mouth water. What you've built here encompasses all three. His expression didn't change, though his eyes encouraged me to go on. You've created a mood, a visceral sensation. I felt it when I walked into the lobby. Then I began to take in the design, the shape, the opulence, and the... I searched for the right word, knowing I wouldn't be getting another chance. Sensuality of it all started to wash over me. This building isn't for someone who simply wants a place to rest their head. It's for someone who wants to feel sensual in their living space. In this case, wood and carnal really do go hand in hand. What I had planned to say didn't match with what had come out of my mouth. It was too late to tame it. I just needed to keep going and hope he understood that every word I was speaking was the truth. And it was. The throbbing need inside me confirmed that. Derek, I know how to play with my buyers' wallets. I want you to give me the opportunity to play with their emotions. Let me introduce them to the masterpiece you've created and explain to them why they need to live here. Beats of silence passed between us. If he gave me this listing, I'd be working harder for him than I'd ever worked for anyone before, even my father. Because after seeing the inside of this building, even just a glimpse, I understood Derek's talents. And I believed in him. This project deserved my best, a level I wasn't sure I had reached until this recent inspiration, the one that continued to drum between my legs. His pale lips parted, his tongue skimming the corner as his eyes roamed my face.
I'll be in touch.
Then his hands moved to the keyboard, and his attention shifted to his computer screen. That was my cue to leave. It was such a short interview, probably the shortest I had ever been on. The most intense, too. Since he had only asked one question, it put so much pressure on my answer. And with such a stoic expression, I couldn't gauge his reaction. I hated that. I stood from my chair and grabbed my bag. I look forward to your call, I said as I walked out his door. When I got into the back seat of the SUV, a coffee and pastry bag was waiting for me in the drink holder. The smell of both made my stomach growl. I took a bite of the coffee cake and caught Norm's eyes in the rearview mirror.
They were just coming out of the oven when I got there, he said.
I covered my mouth with the back of my hand. It's amazing. I swallowed, wishing the bite had lasted longer. I should have asked you to get me two. He lifted his hand into the air, holding his second bag. You didn't.
I did, he said.
You're the best. Thank you again, Norm.
My pleasure.
Knowing there were probably several emails I needed to reply to, I pulled out my phone. There was a text from Bree on the screen. Bree. How'd it go? Me. He's a hard one to read. Bree. A second meeting at least? Me. He said he'd be in touch. I want this one. I really want this one. Bree. Are you talking about the building or the builder? Me. You're funny. Bree. Did you change into the red heels like I suggested? Me. I just rolled my eyes, Bree. You should have worn the red heels. Me. Go back to work. Winky face.
4. Derek. I waited until Frankie was halfway to the door before I glanced up from my screen, just in case she thought of a last-minute plea. I should have known that wasn't her style. Or mine. She was too sharp to take another stab, and I was a one-and-done kind of guy. But her ass. That would take longer than an interview to admire. It was something that needed to be held and squeezed. Worshipped. Those tight black pants showed off her fit figure. One that she treated well and worked out frequently. There wasn't any unnecessary jiggle going on in the front, either. She had a natural, perky handful. Just how I liked them. The way she described my building, texture and scent and flavor, how the sensuality of my design was making her salivate. Fuck. She was talking about more than architecture. What she didn't know was the interview was only half of the assessment. The second half was guaranteeing her ability to attract and close buyers. My agents weren't allowed to use their pussy. That would get them terminated. But I had to know they were capable of portraying an appropriate level of passion and desire. Frankie was, making her an asset to my company. And to me. She was acute and fierce, intriguing and stunning. Her answers had captured my attention. It was rare that someone could compel me to look nowhere but at them. Yet she had me hanging on every word that came through those delicious lips. Even though those lips were much looser than her tightly wound body. But that had changed once my hand touched hers. She stopped breathing, and her muscles weakened with lust. Had it been that long since a real man had been between her legs? Or maybe she'd never had a real man between them at all. "If you leave right now, you'll get there on time," Will said from my doorway. "If you wait even a minute more, you're going to hit rush hour." I grabbed the jacket and set of keys he handed to me. "If anything comes up, call me." "Even during your meeting?" Will was the first full-time employee I'd hired. He'd worked for me since the day he graduated college. That was 7 years ago. He knew almost everything, including what this meeting entailed, which was far too much. But it was necessary in order to keep me focused. And focused was what I needed to be when I met Tamara. "Yes, even during my meeting." He typed into his phone. "I just texted you the address of the hotel where you'll be meeting her." I walked past him, heading toward the garage while searching the directions on my phone. The timing of this meeting threw off my whole day. Tamara had scheduled it late last night, after some new vital information had emerged. That was part of the reason I had Frankie come in so early. I was glad I did. Having her ass in my head all day wouldn't be a bad thing at all. It would give me something to think about while I was pounding Tamara's. "And Derek?" Will said from the end of the hall. I looked over my shoulder and kept walking. "About Frankie?" Wow, I knew she'd be hot, but I didn't expect her to be that hot. She's a force. I had to disagree. Tamara was hot, but that was a cheap description for a cheap woman. There was nothing cheap about Frankie. She wasn't hot. She was exquisite. She was pink ivory, the rarest wood I had ever gotten my hands on. Though I hadn't touched her. Not yet. "She only got better as the interview went on," I said. "The space Randy wants to buy is here," Tamara said. Her finger circled the middle of her tablet, a screen that showed the breakdown of the lot lines. Her free hand reached underneath the back of her shirt and toyed with her bra strap. Her perfume didn't ordinarily affect me, but from the moment I entered the hotel room, I'd felt like it was choking me, and not in a good way. "It's in Hull, directly on the water. Depending on zoning, the pool will probably be rooftop, and every unit will face the ocean." "6 floors, 3 units per floor?"
Her eyes turned to my lips, silently begging them to kiss her. "You're good." She already knew how good I was.
I was just as ravenous when it came to my business, especially when Randy White was involved. I know the lot, I said. I looked at it a few months ago. Why didn't you buy it then? The reason was simple. Zoning wouldn't allow for more than 6 floors, and based on the price per square footage, it wouldn't be a profitable investment. This proved they were both fucking idiots, and how desperate Randy was becoming. If I told Tamara any of this, she'd convince him not to buy it. I wanted to witness his demise, not aid in his success. I wanted to save the space for you, I said. That law will earn you quite the commission. She leaned forward, her nose skimming the bottom of my jaw. Her tongue licked my whiskers. I wanted to tell her to back away, but I knew it would cut her off, and I couldn't let that happen yet. When are you going to let me start working for you? She already did. She just had no idea, and she wasn't nearly smart enough to figure it out. I have a full-time agent. You know that.
Not for Timber Towers.
Her whine was so high-pitched I almost covered my ears.
You're hiring an outside agent for that building. Hire me instead.
I wondered how she knew this. I hadn't shared that information publicly. Will had scouted privately before he contacted the 3 brokers who he thought would be the best for our project. Frankie hadn't had enough time to brag. It didn't seem like her style anyway. Her portfolio did plenty of that without her having to breathe a word. One of the others had to have spilled. I'd have to find out which one it was. I need someone who's affiliated with an agency and has the backing of a team of agents.
I can do that.
My hands clasped her cheeks. You know I take care of you, so stop. It was my turn now. The tip of my nose grazed the length of her neck. That was one of my favorite spots on a woman. The ends of her hair brushing over my face, her breath so close, her groans vibrating under my lips. But with Tamara, I felt none of that. I felt nothing at all, actually.
She moaned. You do.
She unbuttoned her blouse and let it drop to the floor. Her bra followed before her hands found their way to my belt. Her hardened nipples taunted me.
Come take care of me now.
She knew better than to take off her top and give me an order. That wasn't how this relationship worked. When I was satisfied with the information she gave me on Randy, I would feed her my dick, but not a second before I was damn well ready. Judging by the lack of movement under my zipper, I wasn't even close to that. Did I tell you to strip? She froze.
No, I just thought.
That's the problem. You didn't think. You know better than to disobey me, but drop your hands from my waist. She could handle demands just fine. She just couldn't handle my rejection. She wasn't strong enough, and I'd end up losing her as a source, so I had to give her what she wanted, even though not one fucking part of me desired to touch her. After some mental coaxing, my cock usually responded to her. But there was nothing happening down there now. Not even an urge for her to suck down my cum with those shiny, plumped lips. There was a reason for that. Regardless, I knew there was a way around this. It would just have to be enough for her. Since you didn't wait for my command, her sigh had a twist of sex at the end.
Have I been a bad girl, baby?
Get on the bed. You need to be punished. Before your ass hits that comforter, I want it bare. Pants, shoes, everything off. Her clothes fell away as she moved across the room. Now fully naked, she jumped onto the bed, crawling until she reached the pillows. She stayed on her knees, her ass pointed at me, her eyes glancing over her shoulder. They widened and narrowed, a silent plea for me to touch her. When that didn't stir a response, she spread her cheeks, giving me a better look at that tight little hole of warmth. I backed up until I reached the dresser, the only piece of furniture parked across from the bed, and leaned into it. Turn over. She flipped around, her legs wide, heels pushing into the mattress. Her hands rested on her navel, fingers softly tickling her skin. Tell me how wet you are. Her pointer finger circled the outside edge of her lips. She was teasing herself, the same way I would have done if I were giving her my tongue. She briefly swiped over her clit before she plunged straight inside. Sopping. She continued to slide her finger in and out of her cunt, her head grinding into the pillow, her back arching. That's what you do to me. You make me so fucking wet. Her eyes were closed as I moved to the end of the bed and rested my knee on the mattress so she'd know how close I was. Her neck straightened. Add another finger, I said, our eyes meeting, slowly, very slowly, or I'll make you stop. She went knuckle deep with her right index and middle fingers and dropped her speed by half. Her left hand rested across her double-wide landing strip, waiting to be ordered to touch her clit. I knew her body. This was the only way she'd have an orgasm, friction mixed with penetration. Before I allowed her that, I needed to get her bucking with need. All the way in, as deep as you can get them. Passion was building inside her eyes. If I were to wrap my cock and shove it inside her, it would only take a few pumps before her legs would be quivering around me. But nothing she was doing made me want to give her that. Not her moaning or her dripping fingers or her need for me. None of it was enough to shake the thought of Frankie from my head. That fiery, fine-assed brunette with gunmetal eyes and a spicy mouth. Close your eyes, I demanded. I want you to pretend your fingers are my cock and I'm pounding you. Baby, she groaned. Twist your wrist each time you pull out like I would do with my hips. Oh, she screamed. Fuck! Now faster. Her toes bent as her heels dug into the mattress, her ass lifting off the bed every few seconds. Her breathing was labored. She wasn't in control of what was happening inside her. It was time. Touch your clit. Yes, she hissed. A second scream shot from her lips as her fingers landed on the sensitive spot. Rub it. She swirled over that hardened bud as her fingers dove and surfaced. I could smell the thickness of her arousal in the air. Her nipples were growing even tauter. Fight off that orgasm that's building inside you and just enjoy how fucking good this feels. Let me come, she begged. Show me how fast and deep you can take me first. Her hips lifted, giving me a better angle to see her pussy. Her wetness coated her fingers and the inside of her thighs. The outside of her hole clenched around her knuckles. The sloshing, plunging, screaming made one hot fucking noise. I could practically feel the heat and slickness on my cock. But it wasn't enough, and neither was she. Ah, she breathed. Rub your clit as fast as you're finger fucking yourself. Her teeth stabbed her bottom lip, her breasts bouncing as the speed of her rubbing and stroking traveled in waves over her body. I could tell she was seconds away, holding off because I ordered her to. I didn't think she could wait much longer. She wouldn't need to. Come for me. Oh, fuck. She cried out, her stomach rippling as the orgasm tore through her. Her back arched again, her pussy bucked against her fingers. My name was shouted from her lips. Women were beautiful when they came. Even Tamra. I waited until she fell flat on the bed before I moved to her side. She latched onto my hand, pulling it to her face. Thank you, baby. She kissed my thumb, her eyes darkening with each peck. Her tongue licked around the base of my nail, down the right, then left side of my finger. Her mouth was asking for my dick. I didn't give her words a chance to do the same. I'll see you soon. Disappointment crossed her face. I traced her jaw with my wet thumb, giving her a touch of the tenderness she craved before I moved to the door. I'll call you. She nodded. You'd better. Back in the driver's seat, I pulled up Hayden's name and started a new text message. Hull is the next location.
5. Frankie. With two large to-go coffees and a bag of donuts in my hands, I slid out of the SUV and thanked Norm for the ride. Outside the door of Anna's building, I pushed the button for her apartment. I'd done it so many times before, my fingers automatically knew where to find her name. "It's me," I said when the intercom clicked on. "Are those donuts in that bag?" she asked from inside. "What? No." I'd forgotten about the recently installed video camera next to the call box and the monitor by her front door. I'd been bringing her sweets every Thursday for the last 9 years. I would have thought she'd eventually stop asking what was in my bag, whether I was downstairs or walking into her apartment. But that just wasn't Anna, and it was one of the many things I loved about her. "Frankie Jordan, don't you dare lie to me. You know I can't stop myself at just one, and I know you brought me at least two. I've been walking on the tread every godforsaken day to burn off the cinnamon buns you brought me last week." Her tread was the treadmill I had delivered to her apartment a few months ago, after she complained of stiffness in her joints. I hoped the exercise would help ease some of the pain. Today was the first time she'd spoken of using it. It was a good sign. "We can talk about the donuts you're not going to eat when I get upstairs," I told her. A buzz came to the speaker, followed by the sound of the door unlocking. I stepped off the elevator on the 7th floor and smelled a hint of potpourri as I walked down the hall. That was the scent of her home, one that hadn't changed in all the years I'd been coming here. Her furnishings hadn't changed either. She had the same white and blue doily on the table in her foyer, and the peach candle I'd given her as a gift when I was 10 sat on top of it. She refused to light it. The super in her building had offered to update her entire unit with granite countertops and stainless steel appliances, new paint and hardwood floors. She wouldn't let him. She didn't see a need to change the mustard fridge and stove that somehow still functioned, or the shag carpet, or the faded yellow walls. Change made her break out in hives. "Get over here right now and hug this old bag of bones," she said. She stood in the living room, her arms crossed over her petite waist. The only makeup she wore was a smear of pink lipstick. She called it her splash of color, since she only ever wore white shirts. I closed the door behind me, set the treats on the coffee table, and fell into her embrace. Anna didn't smell of potpourri. Her scent was a strong blast of cherry blossoms. It didn't matter what perfume she sprayed on her clothes, or what soap she washed with. The flowery aroma never died. Whenever I got a whiff of it outside this apartment, memories of her would immediately flood my mind. "Sit," she said, finally releasing me. "Before the coffee gets cold." I took my usual spot in the corner of the couch. She sat in the stiff chair across from me. The padding in both needed to be replaced, and in a few minutes she would complain of back pain. But she would never consider getting them reupholstered, or replacing them with something more comfortable. "How did Dad's doctor appointment go?" she asked. She separated the four donuts onto two appetizer-sized plates, knowing without asking which flavors I had gotten for her. "The doctor told him he's working too much, which is nothing new, and that he needs to find a way to relax." "Don't tell me he's taking up yoga." "That's what he should be doing, but he's taking his girlfriend to Croatia instead."
"Croatia?"
Anna shook her head and laughed.
"Is this a new girlfriend, or the same one he had last week?"
"A new one, I think. She's 22, or maybe she's 21. It was odd enough to think about that, let alone to say it out loud.
"So was the last one."
"Good point." I rolled my eyes for effect, though I didn't have to. Anna knew how I felt about the women my father dated. I wish the doctor had told him he needed to retire. He's still telling me how to operate things and unwilling to give up even a little control. It's making me crazy. Anna sat back in her chair, holding the plate under her chin to catch the sugar that fell.
He trusts you, Frankie, but to him you're still his little girl. And you're mine, too.
A look of complete and unconditional love crossed her face.
It's hard for him to allow you to run the whole show when he's been the ringmaster for all these years.
I'm 27. I'm hardly his little girl anymore. I shoved a piece of strawberry donut into my mouth and talked around it.
I've been working for him since I was 8. I know what I'm doing. He just won't give me a chance to prove it. No, no, my dear.
Her loose gray curls bounced when she uncrossed her legs and recrossed them.
You'll always be our little girl, no matter your age.
The emotion in her voice didn't go unnoticed, or the way it filled her delicate eyes. Anna had been in my life since I was 4, when my father was faced with the news that my mom wasn't ever coming back. He couldn't raise a kid and run a successful business at the same time, so he hired Anna as my nanny. She would never replace my mom, nor did she try to, which was why I think I loved her so much. Still, she was the closest thing I had to a mother. Over the years, our relationship had evolved into a true friendship, and now it was my turn to care for her.
I know,
I whispered. It was difficult for me to express how much she meant to me, so I hardly ever did. I'd inherited that block from my father. While I was growing up, he didn't share his feelings. Naturally, I learned not to share mine. Anna had tried so hard to change that, but she wasn't able to. So I tried to show her how I felt whenever I could.
What do you have cooking this week? She asked,
purposely changing the topic. I washed down the donut half I'd crammed in with a large swig of coffee. I had a big meeting yesterday with a developer. His name's Derek Block, and his building is exactly what I need to show Dad how much I can manage. It also happens to be the most beautiful residential high-rise in Boston. Of course, that would mean I'd be working closely with Derek. The impact of that thought made everything inside me start to flutter. I hadn't been able to get him off my mind since I'd left his office the morning prior. It was the way he had looked at me, the way my body had responded to his presence. My ex-boyfriend, Reed, had never made me feel that way. Not even in the beginning of our relationship, when things had been perfect. Derek was nothing like him. And being a potential client, he was certainly off-limits. So why was I consumed by thoughts of him, rather than thoughts of his building? I paused too long, and Anna picked up on it.
Hold your horses, Missy. Why do I get the feeling Mr. Block is a rather attractive gentleman?
A rush of heat spread over my cheeks. He is, but Anna, he's not my type at all.
Maybe that's what you need, someone who isn't your type.
She was trying to get me to step out of the box I had built around myself. Bree tried to get me to do the same thing all the time. But my box was a comfortable place to be. When I stayed within its boundaries, I knew what to expect, and I wasn't plagued with insecurities like the ones that arose when I thought about Derek. From a single meeting, he had taken instant control over my mind and had caused a strong reaction from my body. I just shook my head. For now, I need to focus on work. She set her plate on the table with half a donut left on it.
Don't you think it's time?
Time for what?
Frankie, it's been a year since you ended things with Reed.
I hadn't realized I'd been rubbing small circles over my navel. When I saw that she was staring at my hands, I stopped.
It's time to start dating again.
I popped the other half of her donut into my mouth.
I've been dating.
I'd have to run an extra mile in the morning to compensate for all the sweets I'd been eating lately.
Have you let any of these gentlemen take you out for a second date?
I don't have time for a second date, I said.
I work too much.
Her brows rose.
But you have time for another first date, is that right?
She caught me.
So maybe I have the time,
or could find the time. What I couldn't find in any of those guys was